about what it says and try to actually do what God's Word says to do. He says the mark of true religion will be laced with self-control, love for others, especially those in deepest need. He says you'll also live a clean life through practical holiness. And so that's pretty much chapter 1 in a brief. So that covers that the Christian life is built on trials. It responds to God's Word. And so this time we're going to be looking at how the Christian life respects every person. The Christian life respects every person. We'll also be in the coming weeks throughout the rest of May and then into June, we'll be looking at how the Christian life demonstrates faith, strives to discipline our speech, seeks God's wisdom, is designed to be humble, builds patience, and is committed to prayer. So those are the things that we'll be looking for over the next several weeks. And so we've gone through these. Christian life goes through trials, responds to God's Word. And so today we're looking at how the Christian life respects every person. Respects every person. I'm going to go ahead and read chapter 2. I think I'll go ahead and read all 13 verses. So chapter 2, starting verse 1. My brothers, show no partiality as you do hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes to your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, "Oh, you sit here in this good place," while you say to the poor man, "Oh, you just stand over there, or you can sit down here at my feet." Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves to become judges of evil thoughts? Verse 5, he says, "Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' If you do not commit adultery, but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Let's go ahead. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time together. I thank you, Lord, for the topic that we're Lord, help us open up our hearts and our minds to your word. Help us as we live out our lives to actively respect one another. So, Curtis, show kindness. Lord, thank you for this world. Thank you for what you're doing for us here at Fellowship. Just pray that the things that we can hear this morning will be able to do for you. All right, so. James chapter 2. First point, spiritual maturity expects believers to be courteous or respectful. Spiritual maturity expects believers to be courteous or respectful. In verse 1, James calls out believers to show respect to all people solely based on the person of Jesus Christ. Christ is our ultimate example. He says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." He says all this is based on your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This indicates his person and his work, based on what Jesus Christ has done. He says, remember the life of Christ. Christ, it was not a lofty position. He was not born in a palace. He wasn't born in the greatest city on earth. He was not recognized as royalty. Later on, he was recognized. show no partiality as you hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory. This indicates his exalted position and power. He's the Lord of glory. He willingly lowered himself to be the propitiation for our sins. And now he is exalted on high. Easter is the time of year where we not only focus on the death of Christ, but we focus on his resurrection, his ascension back into heaven and on the throne. He didn't just go back to heaven. He went back to heaven and he was seated back on the throne. And because of this, Christ is our reminder of the future we have as believers. Since Christ showed no partiality in his death on the cross, we have a future in heaven. We have victory over sin. And this victory should compel us to be like Christ, to follow his example, to show respect to all people for the proclamation of the gospel. Since James exhorts us to show no partiality, this indicates to me that we should expect something to happen. We should expect something to happen in our life. We should expect some kind of encounter. We should expect something when we go into this world. While practicing faith, a believer should expect encounters with those people around us. People who are different. Notice the example that's given here. He says rich and poor. That's kind of the most common basic example that you can give anywhere in the world. Rich and poor. Somebody who's rich, somebody who's poor. One person here has the appearance of wealth. The other, the appearance of poverty. Didn't actually say that they were wealthy. Didn't actually say that they were necessarily poor. This one person, he had all the fine clothes on. He looked the part. He played the part quite well. The other person who played the part of being poor was wearing what would be expected for somebody who was kind of shabby clothes. Didn't look the best. Wasn't the latest and greatest style, so to speak. This is an encounter that we can all relate to. When you walk up to somebody on the street, what do you feel like when you walk up to somebody who's dressed nicely? Do you have more confidence in that person than you do reflection on our religion. Remember back in chapter 1, he said, what is pure, true religion? And so all of this is that continuation of that thought about pure religion. Pure religion does not show partiality, because God does not show partiality. Partiality brings division to the church. It hinders the gospel of Jesus Christ. It hinders the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so spiritual maturity expects courteous responses. It expects you to be courteous. It expects you to be respectful to all people, regardless of their background, regardless of who they are. And it's very sobering. not commit adultery, but you do murder, then you have been a transgressor of the law. So speak and act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to those, or to the one who has shown no mercy, and mercy triumphs over judgment. James lays out the law. He expects pushback. And so he talks about the ideal. He goes into it. He expounds on the ideal. He says, being guilty in one point makes you guilty of everything. By using the example of adultery and murder, James shows the foolishness of obedience that is inconsistent in practice. I'm really faithful at obeying God's word in this area over here, but yeah, you know, driving a little speed. I'm really faithful at obeying God's word. I do. I love my neighbor as myself. I really do. I love those people around me. But there's just that one person right down the road that I really have a hard time showing love to. And sometimes I just turn my head and walk the other way. I'm really good at loving my neighbor as myself. Just that one person. Out here is that, hey, listen, you can be faithful as you can be in this one little aspect of God's work, but when it comes over here to this one little thing, it's got you snagged. See, you're still guilty. You're still guilty. What James is talking about here this morning, folks, really hits home to everybody. And it's really hard. James promotes obedience. God's word promotes obedience. It expects nothing less. Nathan, you mentioned that this morning in Sunday school. Obey. God's word expects it. It expects nothing less than obedience. And it's hard. It sounds hard. And it is hard. And we don't always do it. I raise my hand first. I don't always do it. It's hard. True freedom is found in when believers act within the boundaries of the law. How is this? It centers on that word there, or that phrase there, says the law of liberty. It's referenced in chapter 1 as well, talking about the law of liberty. What exactly is this law of liberty? What is he talking about? What in God's word liberates people? Ask yourself that question. What in God's word liberates people? Now the whole point of God's word points right to the gospel. What Christ has done for us on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, the fact that through him we can have salvation. Salvation from what? Salvation from sin. So this ideal, this concept of the law of liberty, the one thing that liberates people in God's word is the person and work of Jesus Christ. He liberated us from sin. And James compels us to act and speak as someone who is liberated from sin. Not based on my works, but based on what Christ has done for us. It's not based on me. It's not based on what if you have done here this morning. It's based on what God has done through Jesus Christ. So James compels us to act and speak as someone who is liberated from sin because of Jesus Christ. Now here's the gem. I want you to kind of take this home. I want you to think about this. Partiality lacks mercy. When you're partial, when you show favoritism, when you show respect to somebody more than you show respect to somebody else, lacks mercy. Because what you're doing is you're holding a person's presupposed deficiencies against them. It does not exercise mercy. But what you end up doing is you exercise judgment have sinned, you're going to have that forgiveness for God. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. As believers, we need to be consistent in exercising mercy, because through Christ, mercy has been shown to us. So that when I go out here into this world and I see somebody and I think, hey, they are such and such person. They're this kind of person. Instead of casting judgment, I need to show mercy. Because mercy has been shown to me through the person of Jesus Christ. And some of us may think, well, that person is really horrible sin. Not a man. That person really done some really, really bad things. I show mercy. Because mercy has been shown to me. James is about spiritual maturity. And here he kind of lays out three areas that show maturity. Spiritual maturity shows respect. It's courteous. It shows compassion. To be experienced through the royal law. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. And it's consistent. Spiritual maturity is consistent. Lives out God's word, and then it practices mercy. It's consistent in practicing that mercy. In our culture, in our society, these areas are very hard to swallow. You think about the conflict going on in the Middle East, and you hear all the things that's going on over there, and one side's going to tell you one thing, and the other side's going to tell you another thing. And in our own country, bring up race, bring up religion, bring up a whole slew of topics, and the world becomes very divisive. James compels us here to show mercy. And he tells us, don't respect one person over the other. He says, I don't care what the color of their skin is. I don't care about their political background. I don't care about what views they particularly hold. As believers in Christ, he compels us to go out into this world and show compassion, to show mercy. And you cannot do that if you show partiality, if you show favoritism. It's very hard. It can be very, very hard to do. Jesus, on many occasions, was ridiculed by the religious leaders of his day for interacting and ministering with people that were called sinners. Does this mean that we compromise God's word? Absolutely not. We stay true to God's word. We call sin what it is. It's sin. But how I treat somebody shows a lot about who I am. It shows a lot about who my God is. Show compassion. Show mercy. If anything, all of this should motivate us to shine the truth of God's word through compassion and mercy. It emphasizes the gospel. Sharing with people what truly liberates them, which is what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. And we can never convey that message if we ourselves are being divisive, if we ourselves are holding